is going on? It's your boy Monty Cliff coming to you live from the apartment off Riverway, Boston, Massachusetts. And I am excited because the guys over at Progress uploaded Chapter 66 and Chapter 67, the two chapters from New Orleans. So this podcast is going to be covering Progress Chapter 66, Mardi Gras, from April 6th down in New Orleans, Louisiana. And we'll just get right down to it. So the show opens with Jim hyping up the crowd as usual. Always enjoyable listening to him. There's no commentary on this upload, so it makes for a little bit of a weird experience. They must have had some technical difficulties with it on the upload or something like that. But all the wrestling's still here, so we'll get down to it. And I guess I'll just do my own commentary for the big parts of the matches. So the first match, they waste no time getting down to a great matchup here. It's the Progress Tag Team Championships, Mustache Mountain, the Challengers, going up against the champions, Grizzled Young Veterans. Out first are the Challengers, Tyler Bate and Trent Seven, Mustache Mountain, to thunderous applause and cheering. They are having a great time strutting down to the ring. Of course, they're two-time tag champs. They've squared off with the Grizzled Young Vets before, so we'll see if they can get a win here in New Orleans. Grizzled Young Veterans, the champions, out next. James Drake and Zach Gibson. Boos are raining down on them from the crowd. Much less theatrics from these guys. They head straight to the ring. Two-time champs here as well, having traded the belts with Haskins and Havoc previously. During introductions, Trent Seven grabs the microphone from Jim, and he's rubbing it in Gibson's face that Trent is a contracted WWE worker, while Gibson, of course, had a match at Access at WrestleMania weekend, but that's his first exposure in the WWE universe and not a contracted wrestler for them. And then Gibson snatches the mic from Seven. The crowd immediately boos him. He tries to talk over the crowd. He's talking smack about this American crowd. He's getting that heat. He's a great heel on the mic. And we finally get to the action. Bate and Drake start us off, a little chain wrestling to start. Tyler Bate playing to the crowd quite a bit here in the early goings. Grizzled Young Vets eventually team up on Bate and then knock Seven off the corner as well to gain control of the match. Tyler Bate gets the airplane spin on Gibson, tags Trent in, and he gets the upper hand briefly before the Grizzled Young Vets do come back to swing that momentum. They're exchanging tag maneuvers now between the two teams. Drake attempts a pin on Bate, but gets a two count only. Bate hits a superplex on Drake, holds onto it, rolls him over and gets him up, and then shoves him over to Seven. Rebound clothesline from Tyler Bate into a snapdragon suplex from Trent Seven. It's a nice combination there, but only gets them the two count. Bate has control. There's a brief distraction from Gibson on the outside, which allows Drake to get Bate up in that tombstone position. They hit the ticket to mayhem. Three count. Grizzled Young Vets retain the tag titles. This was a solid match here, a great opening contest. It definitely got the crowd into the wrestling. It got them very hyped, and it was a good showing for Bate, Seven, Gibson, and Drake, all four guys in this match. Moving right along, next up is Will Ospreay versus Mark Haskins. This one should be fun as hell. I mean, Mark Haskins comes out to the ring accompanied by Vicky Haskins. He's intense as all Dickens as usual. He charges the ring. Will Ospreay out second. Applause from the crowd. He's got that IWGP Junior Heavyweight belt with him as well. Not afraid to show that one off, as he should. He's a very deserved champion over there. A bit of clash of styles here. Ospreay, obviously an elite high flyer. Haskins, a great striker with technical prowess. Both men can turn up the dial when it comes to match pace, so hopefully this one's fun. Doesn't take long before these two start throwing kicks, missing, of course, and then a drop kick at the same time, so it's kind of a standoff to open up the match. Will Ospreay gets the upper hand, though, sending Haskins to the outside to regroup with Vicky before he gets back in the ring. A distraction from Vicky allows Haskins to get control, knocking Will to the outside. A suicide dive follows. Haskins in control, throwing strikes on the outside. Now on the inside as well. Mark Haskins has definitely slowed the match down a bit when he's in control, which is a very smart strategy from him. He's keeping Ospreay grounded when he can. But Ospreay does fight back. He hits a nice over-the-top rope 619 on Haskins, then a top rope crossbody. Two count only, though, as Haskins kicks out. Will Ospreay is nursing that neck injury, so he's unable to get Haskins up for a suplex, opting for a power slam instead. Hits a running shooting star press and then misses a second rope moonsault. Haskins slaps on that bridging Fujiwara armbar, but Will Ospreay manages to escape. Ospreay throwing some nice kicks before hitting a standing Spanish fly, both men on the canvas now. And then Haskins hits a nice cradle bomb of sorts, only gets a two count, though. Ospreay isn't finished yet. Haskins goes for it again. Ospreay counters it into a roll-up, two count only. Ospreay goes for the os cutter, misses off the springboard. Haskins rolls through for that picture-perfect sit-out Death Valley driver. Two count only, though. It was a tremendous sequence to watch. Haskins has that bridging Fujiwara armbar locked in again on Ospreay's taped-up shoulder, pretty heavily taped in this match. But Ospreay counters out of it. Sit-out powerbomb on Haskins, two count only. Nice little show of strength from the smaller Will Ospreay. Vicky Haskins on the apron, preventing Ospreay from setting up the os cutter. Ospreay counters the sit-out Death Valley driver into a stunner, though, and then the os cutter immediately follows that. Will Ospreay gets the three count. He is victorious over Mark Haskins. It was a great match here. Two top-notch competitors putting on an absolute show. The second half of this match definitely picked up tons of excellent action from these two. Vicky getting involved kind of helped the storyline as well, so it was nice to see Will kind of overcome that to get the win. It was really great stuff overall. All right, next match, Ringkampf versus David Starr and a mystery partner. Ringkampf out first, Valter the Progress Atlas champion. He and Timothy Thatcher here looking very confident as usual. David Starr out next, straight to the ring. Jack Sexsmith was supposed to be his partner here, making up the team Sexy Star, but he couldn't make it to the USA for these matches, so Starr has a surprise partner, and that surprise partner is none other than Keith Lee in all of his glory. What a great surprise this is. Evening out that size disparity here, great stuff. So it'll be Ringkampf versus David Starr and Keith Lee. Walter and Starr actually getting us started. So if you've listened to my podcast on Defiant Wrestling, or if you follow Defiant Wrestling, you know these two have had some wars recently, with Starr unable to get a victory over Walter. And like, I think it's been 14 contests so far between these two across various promotions. Cannot get a victory over Walter. It doesn't take too long for Walter to connect with a chop, and this one lighten up the chest to David Starr. We get a square off between Keith Lee and Timothy Thatcher. They're trading strikes. Lee definitely has a power advantage here, but Thatcher's no slouch. He is deceptively strong, as I pointed out on a previous podcast. Starr back in the match now with the upper hand on Thatcher before Thatcher hits a nice belly-to-belly suplex, shifting the control back to Ringkampf. They're beating up Starr now, tagging in and out with ease. Walter hitting suplexes on Starr, just grinding him down, slaps the sleeper hold on a couple times as well. He's put Starr away with that move at least twice over in Defiant Wrestling. Starr finally gets a tag to Lee, and he comes in hot, clearing out Ringkampf with shoulder blocks and chops. He gets Walter up for a humongous spirit bomb. Absolutely unbelievable strength on display here from Keith Lee. Starr hits a huge rebound clothesline to get Walter off his feet later in the match, but he can't capitalize with a pinfall, though. There's a massive powerbomb from Walter on Starr. A three count follows. David Starr loses to Walter again here, as Thatcher and Walter are your winners. Tough-fought contest here. The addition of Keith Lee, I thought, was great. I enjoyed this one for sure. Not surprised to see Ringkampf get the win here. They're definitely keeping Walter looking strong as hell as he's going into that feud with Travis Banks, potentially for that Progress title if Banks can hold on to it until then. That was teased at Chapter 65, I think, ended with Walter coming out to confront Travis Banks after his title match. Moving along here, we've got the big Thunder Bastard match. Eight men total. Two men begin. Every 2 minutes, a new competitor enters the fold. I'll keep the participants secret and then reveal them as they enter. Pinfall, submission, or DQ earns an elimination. Winner gets a Progress title shot of their choosing. So Chris Brooks out first. He's looking confident going into this one, having Thunder Bastard experience here, of course. Ricky Shane Page out second. He'll be starting the match off with Brooks. I think this is my first time seeing Page, but I've heard a lot of great things, so let's get to it. Brooks immediately gets the upper hand in this one and goes for that wet willy, but instead Page puts Brooks' finger in his mouth. So Page starting to use his size then after that, tossing Brooks around a little bit after Brooks is kind of rattled by that display from Ricky Shane Page. Then next out to the ring is Darby Allin with a head of steam. No grandstanding from him as he moves right to the ring. Springboard arm drag on Brooks, really nice looking spot, and then follows that up with a coffin drop to Page on the outside. Very hot start for Darby Allin. It would be huge for him to get a win here and get a title shot this weekend. He eventually eats a set of kicks, though, from Brooks and Page, and they both start wearing Darby out. Dual wet willies from them to Allin as that countdown begins again, and out next is none other than Austin Theory. He comes in with a dropkick to Brooks and Page, and then an around-the-world backbreaker to Darby Allin. Theory looks great in the early goings here, very fresh to start. Theory whips Allin hard into the ring post, shoulder first. Did not look good for Darby there. Countdown begins again, and then Joey Janela out next, much to the excitement of the crowd. He's looking very confident as he heads to the ring. Big chop and forearm to Theory, and then a set of four suicide dives, one to each man, one of the other competitors, I should say, on the outside of the ring. Joey Janela coming out very hot. And then a little bit later, Darby Allin goes for a suicide dive of his own onto a seated Joey Janela. Kind of a nasty spill for Darby. He's always reckless. He's always putting his body on the line. Sometimes you gotta cringe a little bit when you see him hit some of those moves because you know better judgment maybe should have prevailed there. But Perreault's out next, the biggest man in this match. He's clearing house with ease to start. Page back in the ring now to square off with him. Big boot from Perreault. No one can get the upper hand on Perreault as he's in complete control. Out next, though, is Jeff Cobb, and he's got the power to take down Perreault. We'll see if he can get to him when he enters the ring. But when he does enter the ring instead, they decide to kind of avoid each other, I guess I should say, to start. They attack other competitors instead. They don't come to blows right away, and then that countdown begins again. MJF out last here. He grabs a microphone, and he's talking smack about the fans while saying that he's going to be the next Progress champion. Perreault powerbombs Cobb over the top rope onto other competitors on the outside. So we've got all eight men here. Jeff Cobb, Perreault, Chris Brooks, MJF, Ricky Shane Page, Austin Theory, Darby Allin, and Joey Janela. No eliminations yet. All eight men in the match. The others now are teaming up against Perreault. Fast-paced action here. A litany of big moves from every man. Non-stop action right now. Ricky Shane Page hits an enormous sit-out powerbomb on Darby Allin from the top rope. And as he's going for the pin, MJF comes in and then rolls Page up for a crucifix pin, 3 count. Ricky Shane Page is the first elimination. And then MJF immediately pins Allin as well, eliminating Darby Allin, who's still rocked from that huge powerbomb off the top. Page, before he leaves the ringside area, he hits a chokeslam backbreaker on MJF and tells Allin to hit that coffin drop from the top on MJF as well. They finally head to the back. There's a massive sit-out powerbomb from Perreault as he eliminates Austin Theory right in the middle of the ring. Dual super kicks to Perreault from MJF and Joey Janela. They both pin Perreault, and he's also eliminated. The eliminations are coming in bunches right now, so we're down to Joey Janela, MJF, Chris Brooks, and Jeff Cobb. Joey Janela and MJF in the ring. Janela hits a running Death Valley driver into the turnbuckles, pinning MJF for the 3 count. He is eliminated, much to the happiness of the crowd. Cobb and Janela now squaring off, trading chops to the chest. Cobb gets Janela up for a huge suplex, sending Janela out, and then Chris Brooks comes back in, twisting back suplexes from Cobb to both men. Cobb is in full control. Joey Janela and Chris Brooks hit CCK's patented sick fucking tag move. Brooks slaps on the octopus stretch on Janela, though, after that, and causes Janela to tap. Joey Janela is eliminated here. So we're down to Cobb and Brooks, last two men in this match. Cobb showing his strength off in this one for sure, tossing every man around, Brooks especially here. But Brooks fights back with his quickness and strikes. Slingshot cutter only gets a 2 count, though. Shortly after, Jeff Cobb hits that tour of the islands on Chris Brooks. Jeff Cobb, with the 3 count, is the winner of the New Orleans, Louisiana Thunder Bastard match. He receives a shot at the Progress title of his choosing, and this was a very fun match. Tons of great WWN talent showcased here. Every man brought it for sure in this one. Quick eliminations after everyone entered the match. Definitely sped up the match a little bit. It kept the viewer and the crowd on their toes, I would say. Some very cool spots here in general. I'd say it's definitely a must-see match if you enjoy high-octane action or if you kind of like the chaos of these types of matches. All right, next up we have a women's tag match, Ginny and Mercedes Martinez versus Toni Storm and Shazza McKenzie. Jenny outbursts to Booze, remember that she and the rest of the House of Couture stable have been on a campaign to weaken Toni Storm before Jenny gets her shot at that women's title. This is Jenny's return match to Progress after being out injured for some time. Mercedes Martinez out second, teaming with Jenny here, and what a great partner to have if you want to weaken Toni Storm. Martinez is certainly a tough competitor. If you haven't seen her matches in the WWE Mae Young Classic or any of her stuff, you can definitely check her out. And she is very talented, very aggressive in the ring, a great competitor. Out third is their opponent, Shaza McKenzie, waiting at ringside to be joined by Toni Storm before heading into the ring. Probably a smart move there. The Progress Women's Champion, Toni Storm, outlasts to a chorus of applause. The crowd is very excited to see Toni here. Match starts off with Storm and Martinez squaring off. Some chain wrestling, feeling each other out a little bit here. Toni gets a running hip attack on Martinez, tags in Shaza, and a tag team snapmare takeover follows, then some hip attacks to a seated Martinez now as well. But Jenny comes in to break up the fun, so the match continues. The momentum's a little evened out. Martinez now raining strikes on Shaza McKenzie. Jenny tagged in briefly before Martinez comes back in. Eventually, she gets Shaza up for a great stalling suplex. Nice show of strength there from Mercedes Martinez. Shaza McKenzie eventually fights back, though. Boots to Martinez and then a back suplex. She desperately needs a tag to Toni. She gets one, and Toni comes in and clears house. Backcracker to Jenny. German suplex to Martinez. Shaza back in, Toni getting stomped on by Jenny on the outside. Shaza hits a split jawbreaker on Martinez, but only gets a two count. Then a fisherman buster from Martinez on Shaza follows in the ring as Toni Storm is whipped hard into the turnbuckle by Jenny. Three count, Jenny and Mercedes Martinez are the victors here. Solid match here, nice Progress debuts from Shaza and Martinez. Great storyline advancement between Jenny and Toni. That was mainly the point of this match here. I can't wait for that title match. It's going to be great. It's been built up so well. So I'm really looking forward to that one. I think it may have been announced for Chapter 69, but I'm not positive on that. I think that because Jack Sexsmith is getting his title shot then, and I think Jenny is getting hers as well. So that'll be a big event if both of these matches happen at Chapter 69. But next up here at Chapter 66, Matt Riddle versus Jimmy Havoc. Jimmy Havoc out first, accompanied by Vicky Haskins. He's quick to the ring here, looks very ready to go. Matt Riddle out second, cool and calm as usual, fist bumping the crowd on the way. He's having a great time. He's got that newly acquired Evolve title on him as well. Great match he had with Sabre Jr. Covered that on the Evolve 102 podcast. Check that one out if you haven't yet. No wasted time in this one. Havoc looking for that acid rainmaker early. It's countered. Riddle hits a half and half suplex to open the matchup. Gut wrench tosses now from Riddle. Riddle's pummeling Havoc in the corner. Vicky Haskins distracting Riddle allows Havoc to recover a little bit. Riddle goes for a kick, but Havoc catches it and bites on the exposed toes of Matt Riddle. Jimmy Havoc is absolutely sinister here. Havoc now in control, targeting the legs of Riddle. Havoc now beating up Riddle on the outside of the ring as well, and then back in the ring. Havoc still in control and targeting the foot and ankle of Matt Riddle. Riddle eventually fights back with forearms and then a ripcord knee strike to Havoc, bridging German suplex, two count only. Vicky hands Jimmy Havoc an 8x10 photo. Riddle gets him up for the bro to sleep, and Vicky distracts the ref, so Havoc counters out of the bro to sleep and uses the picture to give Matt Riddle a paper cut between his toes. Like I said here, Jimmy is absolutely sinister in this match, taking enjoyment in bringing much pain to Matt Riddle in very demented ways, I should add, biting on toes and paper cuts. So Vicky interfered a little too much here, and referee Brandon Tully sends her to the back. Havoc hits a big acid rainmaker, but only gets a two count. Havoc now grabs a chair and threatens to hit Riddle. The referee takes the chair away, so while his back is turned, Havoc kicks Riddle with a low blow. Goes for the acid rainmaker again, but Riddle counters it into the bro mission. Matt Riddle gets the submission victory over Jimmy Havoc. Good contest here. No frills. It wasn't very drawn out. It was straight to the point. They maintained a solid pace with the action for the entire match. Vicky getting involved, allow Havoc to use some of those backdoor tactics. Really smart stuff here. I definitely enjoyed this one. All right, up next here we have a three-way match, Mark Andrews versus Pete Dunne versus Flash Morgan Webster. Flash Morgan Webster out first. Nice applause from the crowd. He's got Vicky Haskins accompanying him to the ring here. We saw that partnership teased in his title match against Travis Banks, but then he did ask her to go to the back, and he ended up losing that contest. So we'll see if she stays at ringside here with him. Also noting again that Flash is wearing that all-black gear. Definitely a contrast to his older attire. We saw the all-black gear kind of make a debut in Chapter 65. Mark Andrews out next. Nice pop from the crowd. He's hyping up the crowd as he makes his way to the ring. This is classic Mark Andrews. Very fun stuff. And then out last, the bruiserweight, Pete Dunne, former Progress champion. He's got the WWE UK championship in tow here, looking confident as the crowd showers him with cheers. This is going to be a great contest. It'll be interesting to see kind of who the crowd supports most here. So there are less cheers for Flash and more boos, actually, during Jim's introduction of him. Crowd may be already turning on him since Vicky Haskins is at ringside with him, but Vicky doesn't stay at ringside for long because the ref boots her before the bell even starts. Probably smart to give her the boot given her other interferences tonight, but that partnership, or I guess associationship between her and Flash, we'll have to wait until maybe the next chapter. We'll see if she can stay at ringside for one of Flash's matches next time. Pete Dunne in control early here as the action starts. Limb and digit manipulation on Flash. But Flash comes back with his speed and some arm drag takeovers. Andrews back into the fold with a roll-up into a standing double stomp on Dunne. Flashy stuff as usual from Mark Andrews. He's looking great here in the early goings. X-plex from Dunne to Flash on the ring apron outside. Now Dunne tying up Andrews in the ring. Flash comes back into the ring, springboard dropkick, sending Andrews outside, float over DDT on Dunne. He rolls outside of the ring as well. Tope Con Hilo from Flash to Andrews on one side, back into the ring to the other side of the ring. Tope Con Hilo to Dunne as well. Flash is firing on all cylinders here. Northern Light suplex into a standing corkscrew moonsault from Andrews on Flash, though, back in the ring a little later. Andrews goes for that cover, but it's broken up at two by Dunne, who comes in with a top rope double foot stop. Great stuff here. Andrews counters the X-plex into a stun dog millionaire, but it appears to have no effect on Pete Dunne, who kicks Andrews in the back of the head. X-plex attempt again. Andrew counters it into a Hurricane Rana. Flash picks Andrews up for a double underhook face buster. No attempt, but a great sequence there from all three men, who are now laying on the canvas. A little bit later, there's a super Hurricane Rana from Andrews that sends Flash into the arms of Pete Dunne, who then picks Flash back up and hits a bitter end on him. Pin attempt, but Dunne moves out of the way as he sees Mark Andrews coming from the top rope with a shooting star press. That connects with Flash, but Dunne picks Andrews up. Pump handle setup into a tombstone pile driver. Three count as Pete Dunne is the victor here in this three-way contest. This was top quality stuff here. All three men brought it. Tons of great spots. This is probably the must-see match of the card. These three killed it here at Chapter 66. Absolutely blown away. After the match, we see Eddie Dennis making his way to the ring. A great surprise appearance from Eddie. He's been fantastic on the mic while he's been recovering from that pectoral and shoulder surgery. But he's been haunting Mark Andrews here for a while now. He wants a one-on-one match with Mark when he's healthy. He's got a microphone blaming Mark Andrews for the fact that not enough people here in America recognize who he is since Andrews, you know, got signed to TNA and WWE, the bigger companies, and Eddie Dennis did not. He wants Andrews to hit him. He wants that war with Andrews to finally begin. But Andrews refuses and leaves the ring. And as he walks to the back, Eddie Dennis calls Mark Andrews a coward. All right, we're on to the main event here. It's the Progress Championship match. The champion, Travis Banks, defending against Shane Strickland. Shane Strickland is out first, looking confident, and then Travis Banks, the champion, out second, much more intense on the way to the ring. Crowd maybe a little indifferent on how to react to Banks here, given his recent antics, in Progress. A series of evades from both men to open the match. A chop from Strickland starts the strike battle in this contest. It's a great start. Banks hitting a set of roundhouse kicks to the back of Strickland, who's on his knees, and then a super kick to the head of Strickland sends him to the mat. Banks is in complete control for now. Strickland comes back with a head scissors takeover and a drop kick. Really nicely done. Strickland getting a little technical now with a really nice arm submission, but Banks gets to the ropes to break it up. Banks fights back, pummeling Strickland on the mat, getting some more boos from the crowd now. Big penalty kick to Strickland as well. Banks is maintaining control even as Strickland tries fighting back. Strickland finally gets a nice kick in on Banks, followed that up with a running pump kick to Banks on the outside of the ring. And then Strickland hits a rope-assisted springboard flatliner, two count only though. Shortly after, Banks hits a nice running knee to regain momentum, but Strickland comes back with a huge counter knee strike of his own. Banks hits a nice little coast-to-coast drop kick to a seated Strickland in the corner. A low suicide dive to Strickland. Banks goes for it a second time, but this time Strickland meets him with a knee, stifling that momentum swing. Death Valley driver to Banks on the ring apron. He sets Banks up over the barricade and then hits a double foot stomp, jumping from the apron onto Travis's back. What a really nice spot there. Kind of reminded me of the old RVD spinning leg drop spot that he used to do back in ECW and WWE. Massive double foot stomp on Banks in the ring, but a two count only as the champion manages to kick out. Banks is a little bit busted open now. He hits a massive Kiwi Crusher from the second rope that earns him a three-count pinfall victory as Travis Banks successfully retains the title. This was a solid match, a nice defense for Travis Banks. Strickland had a strong showing here, but this match never really got a super fast-paced, which I kind of expected to see. It was definitely solid throughout, but the pace just never got too quick. But it's good stuff nonetheless. Crisp moves, good momentum shifts as well. I really enjoyed that aspect. So this brings Progress Chapter 66, Mardi Gras, to a close. Another great show from Progress. They delivered as they nearly always do. Great card from top to bottom. It was awesome to see them kind of showcase some great WWN talent as well. That was a nice touch. One thing kind of missing here was kind of the after-match or between-match antics that you see. Really the only big happening was Eddie Dennis making that surprise appearance, which was very welcomed. But yeah, that brings a close to another great chapter from Progress. I'm excited for what comes next in Chapter 67, since the card was pretty much a mystery going into the event, and I haven't read any spoilers, so I guess I've been lucky in that regard. So Chapter 67 has been uploaded, which I'm super stoked about, so I'll give you a little bit of a rundown here for what's going on in the podcast. So this is going up Tuesday, April 24th, and then on this upcoming Friday will be a podcast recapping Defiant Wrestling Road to No Regrets Part 3, and then I believe there was a Ring of Honor TV episode. If there was, that'll be covered as well. That'll go up this Friday, and then next Tuesday will be the podcast on Progress Chapter 67 from New Orleans, their second chapter show of the More Than Mania weekend. So that'll be coming to you in a week's time. Stay tuned for that. As always, you can find the podcast on Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Google Play Podcasts. I'm working on getting it uploaded to YouTube since Podbean offers a pretty easy feature for that. So that'll be coming soon. And then, of course, as always, you can get the podcast on The Chair Shot, thechairshot.com. Hashtag use your head. Check them out on Twitter, on Facebook, all of your social media platforms. They've got tons more coverage of WWE, tons of personalities, UFC coverage, other sports coverage. They're doing a fantasy football podcast here. You can never get enough fantasy football. So check out what The Chair Shot has to offer. Again, check them out, thechairshot.com. And then as always, you can catch me on Twitter at StageDWrestling. Toss me a follow, tweet at me, let me know your opinions of this show, Progress Chapter 66 from New Orleans, or send me an email, stagedivewrestling@gmail.com. Of course, please rate, like, subscribe, follow, tweet at me, leave reviews on Apple Podcasts. Just do everything you can. I want your feedback. I want to know what you like, what you don't like. So let's make this podcast the best it can be. And as always, signing off, the Blue-Eyed Devil, Monty Cliff. Thanks for nothing, you punks. Heel.